this will be the final word in the story of Skywalker.
Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Get tickets now.
Hello, guys. I am so happy to be back talking to you. Once again, it's been a while, but let's just move past all that. I just recently saw Rise of Skywalker. I know I am super late to the party. funny enough, right as I was going to see the movie, I was already starting to get some spoilers, so I'm glad I saw the movie when I did. I just saw it recently this past Friday with a couple of my friends, and wow, I was super entertained. Just a roller coaster of emotions. I was happy, I was sad, I was like getting pumped up, I was getting chills from the music. It was all just very, very good, very thoroughly entertaining, a good way to end the trilogy. One that certainly had its fair share of downfalls, for sure. And I'm very glad that J.J. Abrams has returned and he decided to fix the mess that we got from episode 8. But before I get into the details about the movie, if you have not seen The Rise of Skywalker, I strongly suggest that you stop listening and come back to this episode at a later time, as I'm going to be delving into super spoiler territory. I'm going to be talking about the pros about the movie, the cons about the movie, and what I felt okay about, and like what I feel about the movie and the franchise overall. So, all right, you have been warned. All right, jumping right into the movie, the first thing I could say is I'm very pleased with the action. From the get-go, it wastes no time. It's just action, action, action. Like, this constant sense of, like, we need to go. You're on this ride. It's from start to finish, it's one giant roller coaster, essentially. And I really liked it. The action scenes, Star Wars movies can never fail on those. They always tend to deliver, and this movie does a great job. The space battles are really good. There's a couple of interesting sequences in the film, specifically when they're on the desert planet being chased by a bunch of jet troopers. That's a really well thought out crafted sequence. I really thought that was very fun. Let's see, what other space battles always deliver on that. Special effects, you never really can go wrong. And that's one of the things I do like about this trilogy, is that, yes, they're using CGI and all that other kind of stuff, but I like how they're trying to take like the route of the original trilogy and use a lot more practical effects. And it's something that I very much enjoy. From the get-go, we're already like delving into like some questions that we've been wanting to have answered, all the way back to episode 7, like literally within the first 10 minutes of the movie, we already get some pretty big stuff answered. When Kylo Ren goes to Mustafar and ends up finding a holocron or something, I don't know what it is. Some nerd is going to correct me on this, but I don't really care. To go and find where the Emperor's living on some sort of Sith homeworld. And apparently that's where the Emperor's been hiding out all this time, because somehow, I'll get into that point later, somehow he survived the events of episode 6. Didn't explain how, I don't know if it ever will, but from the get-go, he warns Kylo Ren that Rey is not who he thinks she is, and that's already our first kind of hint as to Rey's lineage and just what makes her so special. Right away we get a good great relationship with Finn and Poe. We already get to continue their so-called like bromance that they've had since episode 7, and that's one of my biggest like pros about the movie. I did like how we did get to see all three of the main characters finally being together and going on this quest together, along with 3PO and BB-8. Because the whole thing is, the story starts out by a rat within the First Order has given intel to the Resistance, saying, "Hey, you guys better watch out. The Emperor's returned, and he's about to do some serious damage." So right from the get-go, Rey, Finn, and Poe are all trying to go on an adventure to figure out a map leading to one of the last holocrons in the galaxy that could lead them to the Emperor, so they could find him, destroy him, and, you know, bring peace and balance to the whole galaxy. So from the very beginning, it's this constant treasure hunt, basically like Indiana Jones. They take a lot of, or you can call it a MacGuffin story. That's basically what it is. It takes a lot of elements from Indiana Jones and all other adventure movies came before it. And it's a really well thought out adventure. It's fun. You buy into it. It entertains. I'll go more into detail about what I didn't like about that once I get to the cons part of this video, but for right now, I'm just focusing on the good. The lightsaber battles are very well made visually. Like, there's a lot going on, and you feel tension, and you feel, like, this build, and you just, like, just action. Like, it's intense. Like, it's up in your face. We see all kinds of new Force abilities that both the dark and light side have. Rey and Kylo Ren's relationship is explored more in this one, and kind of why they're so strongly connected in the Force. Coming from somebody who does not really like Kylo Ren, I actually kind of did like Kylo Ren at the end of this movie. I like what they did to his character. I thought it was very well earned. It did feel a tad rushed, but again, more on that when I get to the bad. But overall, I did gain a lot of respect for Kylo Ren, as in episode 7, I loved him. I loved him. I thought he was awesome. And then as soon as he took off his helmet, I'm like, just put it back on. Like, no, like, I don't care. I put the helmet back on. Stop being a whiny little baby and just be a cool little, I don't know, be the master of the Knights of Ren or whatever. That's another thing, the Knights of Ren. Holy crap. This review, I'm going to be jumping all over the place, so just bear with me. Luke is given some redemption after what they did in episode 8. We kind of get a little bit of what Luke originally should have been for this trilogy. Leia, they did an amazing job with Leia. I was going in super nervous with what they were going to do with Leia, because if you're not familiar, the actress who played Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, passed away about 3 years ago. So she just wrapped up filming for episode 8. So their method for this one, because they had to put Leia in the story, they just had to continue. Their method was to basically import a bunch of old unused footage from those previous two episodes and piece them together around the story so they could work and she could be involved in some way. And overall, they did a pretty good job. I mean, it's really obvious when you can tell the emotion being given to some of the lines. Like, they don't really quite, like, sync up. And again, it's not their fault. I mean, it's very sad that's what happened. But overall, they did a great job. I was nervous. I thought it was going to be like how it was in Rogue One, where we got a CGI Leia. But they did a pretty decent job, and I'm curious to see, like, where this kind of, like, curious to see if, like, other films are going to take, like, inspiration from that and try and do something about it. Because I'm very curious, because I did do a lot better than I thought they were going to do. There's a lot of fan service. That's one of the main things that people have been liking about this movie. Some of the people that hate this movie think that there's too much of it. But I thought they did a pretty good job. I liked what they did. I liked all the callbacks. It was very fun. I did like some of the new characters, but, like, my main problem with this trilogy, I I felt like I wasn't given enough time to invest in them and really understand them. Some character arcs were rushed. They felt deserved to some extent, but I feel like if, again, just going to be talking about The Last Jedi, my opinion, along with many other fans, it just derailed, like, what JJ had laid out. That's why I like episode 7 so much, is because, yes, they did play it too safe, but they set up so much. So already, J.J. Abrams had this grand, like, outline of what the trilogy was supposed to be. He himself actually wrote the general outlines for episodes 8 and 9. And, you know, Rian Johnson just took it, just didn't use anything with it. And not a lot of people know that J.J. Abrams wasn't the first director for episode 9. They were actually going with another director at the very beginning called Colin Trevorrow. And he ended up leaving the project midway through production due to creative differences. And already you can kind of sympathize with JJ, because it must be pretty hard having to be thrust into the middle of this big blockbuster like movie, like that's tied to one of the biggest like movie franchises of all time. And I will say this, JJ Abrams did the best with what he was given. It was a mess, but he did the best with what he could, and overall, that's what makes this movie watchable to me, and that's what makes it good. It's not outstanding, it's not amazing, it's not great, it's good. Just plain and simple as that. The Emperor is amazing. I am so happy to see that he's back, and while some people don't like that he is, I kind of do like this aspect that he's essentially the puppet master of the entire story, like spanning across like all 9 films. And I do like that idea. He's essentially like, well, I mentioned this to my friends, he's essentially like the Thanos of the Star Wars universe, like just moving pieces around, getting everything set up and into play. And it's just very genius. I was very happy to see him back. The Emperor's super powerful. You thought he was powerful in the last 6 episodes. You haven't seen anything until you see what he can do in this one. And overall, I did like what they did with the new characters. I like how Poe was finally given a little bit of a backstory. Finn was kind of given a little bit of a backstory. Finn was given an arc. You see him go from The Force Awakens being this nervous and scared, like, man, like, on the run, like, from the First Order. And The Last Jedi, you sort of see him embrace his, like, new life as a resistance fighter. And then by the time you get to episode 9, he almost seems fully developed, and he's like, okay, I know my place in the world now. My purpose is to help people. My purpose is to be on the good side. He's just full resistance mode, like soldier, just through and through. He cares about others. It's very great. One of the new characters are enjoyable. The scenes that they are in are very good. Zori Bliss, Poe's former girlfriend, was very good with what she's been given. I'm a little bummed out though. Like her and all the many other characters that this trilogy like introduced. Again, it's all just merchandising and stuff like that. It's just all about the toys and the shirts and everything. That's why these characters are introduced, because in the end, it's kind of, you know, sadly, it all has to be about the money. And, you know, Zori Bliss, like the Sith troopers and Captain Phasma and all the other huge characters that these movies have been hyping up in the trailers and merchandise and everything, they're kind of like reduced to like these minor characters, but like, you kind of hate it though, because you want to like know more about them and who they are and where they come from. You want to invest yourself in them, like many people have with the original trilogy and even the prequels. As rough as the prequels are, there's still at least like a few characters to like latch onto and actually invest yourself in. But overall, it was good. It was a good ending to the trilogy, again, with what they were given, with what he was given, J.J. Abrams was able to end the trilogy. Wasn't able to pack it with a near perfect bow, but he was able to wrap it all up with some sort of good ending. In terms of ending the trilogy, it was good. In terms of ending the saga, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, all I could say about the good is the action is good. There's some character development. A lot of stuff is answered. And that's pretty much about it. A lot of character development, a lot of action. Stuff is answered. And the fight scenes are well made. Special effects always knocking it out of the park. That's about it. But for right now, let's make our way to the bad stuff. Alright, so jumping into the bad in this movie, one of my biggest problems is that, and I share the same opinion with many, and I'm sure a lot of people who have followed the trilogy can agree with me. Yes, it is great that we finally got to see Rey, Finn, and Poe finally team up and do stuff together. It's also kind of a bummer that we had to wait till the very last movie to finally see that all happen. Because for The Force Awakens, it was just Rey and Finn teaming up with Han and Chewie. And they went off and they did their adventure together. Rey had no idea who Poe was up until the very end of Episode 8. Which, that's one of my biggest problems with Episode 8. Is that Episode 8 doesn't move the story forward. You're just kind of stuck in the same place. Like, because Episode 7 and 8 feel like one whole movie, essentially, because they all take place within the span of a couple weeks, a few weeks, a month. And then when you get to The Rise of Skywalker, you have this giant gap. They jump ahead 5 years. And it just bums me out that, like, while their dynamic together was great and you got this sense of relationship, it sucks that we had to wait till the last movie and we couldn't build up on that on Episode 8. One of my other biggest problems is, again, a lot of people don't like Rey because she's super powerful and has never really dealt with any obstacles. And I kind of share that opinion as well. I do like Rey. I like Rey as a character. I understand Rey. But my only problem is, like, yeah, Rey has had no struggle. Rey has not had her butt kicked. Rey has not failed. Whereas with Luke in the original trilogy, Luke failed. Luke was stubborn. Luke didn't want to finish his training. Luke basically told Yoda, like, hey, I'm going to go fight Vader whether you want me to or not. And Luke ended up getting the crap kicked out of him. And he ended up losing a hand. And he ended up figuring out that his father was one of the worst people in the galaxy. Like, Luke, and even Anakin had failures. Anakin fell from the light and went to the dark and ended up being redeemed. Rey has no struggle. From the very beginning, yes, she is very powerful in The Force Awakens. And, oh, she's able to fly a ship, no problem. Oh, she's able to use the Jedi mind trick without even knowing what it is or even what it's called. She's able to wield a lightsaber and take out Kylo Ren, no problem, on her first try. Like, I didn't have a problem with that because I know, oh, hey, while that is like, whoa, like, how is that possible? It's that, whoa, how is that possible? Like, you want to know more. Like, it's like, okay, this is kind of intriguing. Maybe there's a reason to why she's remembering all this stuff. Like, that's fine. But in Episode 8, she's able to beat Luke, almost, essentially. Who's had literally 100 times more training than Rey, yet Rey essentially almost beats him. And it's like, you're telling me that you can beat Luke Skywalker without having any training. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And I get what she's trying to do. She's trying to do what Luke did to Vader, try to tell Kylo Ren, like, hey, you're good. I feel the good in you. I see that there's conflict in you and that you're not going to go completely to the dark side. And yes, I'm fine with that. It's just I wanted Rey to struggle. And I mean, she did almost with the Emperor, but still, it was like for a good 2 minutes. Like, I wanted the Emperor to just destroy Rey, like just like shatter her world, like make her question everything. Like, I wanted Rey to fail. And I mean, that's not a bad thing, because you want to see the hero fail and you want to see them literally rise and learn their lessons and become a better character because of that. And that's not just for characters in movies. That's for life. Everybody roots for somebody who's able to get back up after being knocked down. That's not just movies. That's life in general. But it's very hard when your main character has had little to no struggle over the span of an entire trilogy. I mean, that's very annoying. And I feel bad, because I like Rey as a character. I like Daisy Ridley. She's a very good actress. It just sucks. I just wanted to see her character struggle more. Like, I mean, it's very cool that she's very powerful. And I was very fine with her being Palpatine. Yes, Rey is a Palpatine. Rey is the Emperor's granddaughter. So Kylo Ren was right in episode 8 saying, hey, your parents were nobody, but your grandfather was somebody. Her parents were trying to hide her and protect her from the Emperor, because the Emperor wanted her. And it's stuff like that that I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, that makes sense. Like, that pays off. And it's, I wish they delved more into that, because my biggest theory was that she was trained at a very young age how to do all this stuff. And then to protect her, her parents had her like mind wiped, and then they sent her to Jakku to hide her. So I did get that part right in some aspects, but I'm totally fine with who Rey is. But one of my biggest problems, which I'll get to later, is at the very end, in the very last scene of the movie, she kind of throws the movie's whole message out of the window. And I'll get more on that later. But in terms, oh yeah, and the Knights of Ren, the people that we've been hearing about since The Force Awakens, like, wanting to hear about them. They're these, like, super, like, the one of the most elite, like, warriors, like, group of warriors, like, led by Kylo Ren. And yet, they're literally right on the tail of our heroes. Like, they're, like, right behind them, like, almost all the time. And they never do anything. The Knights of Ren never do anything. They're always just walking, or they're walking right past the characters when the characters are like hiding in plain sight. And it's just, like, again, J.J. Abrams laid out so much in episode 7, and I just feel bad, because, like I said, he just had to do the best of what he was giving, because he literally had to cram essentially two movies into one in the span of about 2.5 hours. And the result, the movie just ends up feeling a little bit rushed. The payoffs that they have in there are good, but they would have felt 1,000 times better if episode 8 kind of, I don't know, like, helped set that all up instead of having to rush it and be like, oh, hey, this, like, here you go. And it's just, oh my God. Now, right from the very beginning, when Kylo Ren finds Palpatine, we already get the thing that Palpatine created Snoke, which that is fine to me. I thought it was creepy. There's a little tank, and showing like little Snoke fetuses or whatever. Like, he's literally like creating them. And that was very cool. I was fine with that. I'm like, okay, that's Snoke's backstory. Like, thank you for like tying that up to some extent. I know that a lot of people are bummed out because they thought that Snoke was going to be Darth Plagueis, the Emperor's master. But other than that, it was just, I don't know. I just feel bad that this movie was rushed. This trilogy could have been so much better. Again, I forgot to mention one of the great things is I did enjoy Lando. Every time Lando was on screen, I had a huge smile on my face. It was just happy. I was happy to see him. A lot of people were like Lando had no place in the story. Like, I don't care. I was just happy to see him. And I'm really glad that he's one of the few original trilogy characters that Disney just didn't decide to kill off. Like, I mean, this whole trilogy is about losing, like, all the popular characters. Episode 7, we lose Han. Episode 8, we lose Luke. Episode 9, we lose Leia. We think that we lose Chewie because he's taken prisoner and he's taken aboard this ship and Rey's trying to stop it, so she uses the Force while the ship's about to go into light speed. So we already know that Rey's super powerful because she's able to stop a ship from exiting the planet. And then she ends up becoming so insanely powerful that she shoots like a giant chain of lightning and she ends up accidentally blowing up the ship. And for a moment, I freaked out. I was super scared. I was like, Chewie, no, like, you blew up the ship. Like, I love Chewbacca. I mean, who doesn't like Chewbacca? So I was like, dang. And then within the next 5 minutes, like, they're like, oh, Chewie's gone. Like, this is so sad. And then within the next 5 minutes, Chewie's alive. He was just on a different ship. And it's like, oh, all right. That was another thing. A lot of people, I wish that this movie kind of had guts. I would have been okay if Chewbacca had died on that ship. Yes, that would suck to have lost such a great character, but it also kind of would have been like, dang, like, that's how we lost him. Like, that's kind of gonna put some guilt on Rey. Like, because she's going to have to, like, deal with the fact that, like, she lost control. And then because of that, she lost a friend and an ally and everything. And that would have been great. They could have done that. Nope. Has no guts. Again, no struggle for Rey to go through. That's why I kind of like Kylo Ren better in this. I actually liked Kylo Ren a little bit better than Rey in this whole movie. As going from somebody who liked Kylo Ren at the beginning, hated him towards the end of Force Awakens, didn't like him at all through The Last Jedi, I liked his overall story now. I respect Kylo Ren, because Kylo Ren is given an arc. Then when our three heroes go to Endor and visit the remains of the Death Star, Rey and Kylo battle it out. Rey has that vision of herself joining the dark side, and she actually fights herself. And she's able to snap out of it. She ends up fighting Kylo Ren. Leia comes to the realization that the only way she could save her son is by literally giving out all of the Force inside of her and transferring it to her son. And that's good for Leia. That's a good way to end her character, by sacrificing herself for the good of her own son. Like, that's very good. And Rey notices this. And from this, Kylo Ren's finally able to realize, like, hey, like, okay, this is what Rey was talking about. Like, I am a good person. I'm above all of this. And you can kind of tell that he did have a soft spot for his mother, because even in The Last Jedi, when he had the opportunity to fire at her ship and essentially blow her up, he didn't. You saw that he hesitated and he couldn't do it. And that was very good. And one of the biggest problems that people had with Rey was, how is she able to heal people with the Force? Like, how is everyone able to do this? Like, how is she able to do that instantly? She's able to heal a giant snake. Because, oh, I forgot to mention, to find the last holocron, they end up stumbling upon a secret dagger that's encoded. And it's just like, how can they heal people using the Force? And if you really want to be a nerd about it, I could just say, go watch The Mandalorian, because The Mandalorian explains it perfectly. But I get it. There's going to be people out there that are going to be like, well, that's bullcrap. Like, why do I have to go watch all this other stuff to understand what's going on in the movie? Like, that's stupid. But overall, and yeah, and then C-3PO, they're saying that they have to erase his entire memory and there's no way for them to get him back. Like, you're trying to tell me that R2-D2 is, like, not reliable and they can't get all of C-3PO's memories back? And then within, like, the next half hour to an hour, like, R2 is like, I'm transferring all my stuff back to you. I kept all your memories this whole time, and you said I wasn't reliable. And it's just like, oh my god. They didn't make that last. The rat within the First Order ends up to be General Hux, and you think it's because Hux wants to be good and is like, I'm doing this for the good of the Resistance, because they go up to him and they ask him, when they find out that Chewie's alive, they end up going aboard the Star Destroyer to go rescue him. And when they get caught by Husk, they're like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you helping us? And you want him to say, it's because I believe in the Resistance cause. Like, I'm doing this for the good of the galaxy. No, it's because, like a little stubborn little kid, it's because I want to see Kylo Ren lose. Like, what? And that's why I was happy why that officer figured it out. And the officer just straight up point blank shoots Hux. And it's just like, that was a rat. I'm like, okay, thank you. Because I was going to be super mad if the whole entire movie he's going to be like laughing like in the shadows. Like, yes, everything's going according to plan. And it's just so stupid. Like, he's jealous of Kylo. And you just don't understand why. I don't know. This movie does have its problems. That's why I say it's good. It's not amazing, but it's good. It's just, I wish that this movie had some more guts. And then Kylo Ren ends up having a moment of realization where he can finally turn. And as he watches Rey take his TIE fighter and end up going to where the Emperor is, he just stands there at the ocean. And then he ends up hearing a familiar voice. And then he turns around and he ends up seeing Han Solo, his father. And they share a really nice moment. Just to clarify things, Han Solo is not alive. Kylo, or Ben, is just seeing this all in his head. And they share a really nice, touching moment, like saying, like, hey, like, you're better than this. Like, don't feel sorry for what you put your mother through. Like, you're better than all this. Like, we forgive you. And then he ends up saying, like, Dad. And without any words, Han Solo just says, I know. And a callback to The Force Awakens is he says, I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. That's a callback to in The Force Awakens when he says that to Han Solo when he was alive, right shortly before Kylo kills him. They end up holding the lightsaber. Han gives it to Kylo, and Kylo just ends up chucking it into the ocean. And from that point on, he looks back, and his father's gone. And he realizes that his mother's gone, his father's gone. But he's gonna carry on for the good of his family. So from that moment, Kylo Ren finally turns over to the good side and becomes Ben Solo. So to go and rescue Rey, he ends up taking a TIE fighter and ends up trying to follow Rey. Rey in the meantime goes back to the island where Luke was hiding and burns Kylo Ren's TIE fighter. And right before she's about to leave, she takes out Luke's lightsaber and throws it into the fire. But before it enters the fire, a hand reaches out and grabs it in midair. And that ends up being Luke as a Force ghost. And right away, it already undoes what happens at the beginning of Episode 8 when Rey hands him his lightsaber and he just tosses it over his back. Luke makes fun of it and says, that's no way to treat a Jedi's weapon. And that's really funny because, like I stated before, we finally get to see the Luke that so many other people wanted to see for this trilogy, myself included. And again, he shares this really nice mentor, like almost Yoda-like speech with Rey, like, hey, I know that this is hard for you, but remember, there's, I forgot exactly what he says, but like, who you are, where you come from, isn't what matters, or something along those lines. Like, he's essentially telling her, like, hey, like, I know it sucks that that you're a Palpatine and you're related to the worst person in the history of the galaxy, but you're better than this. You can rise above this. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your powers are. What matters is what you do with it. And it's essentially that kind of speech. Meanwhile, Finn and Poe go back to the Resistance base. They realize that Leia has passed on, and they end up hatching a plan, figuring out the Emperor's ultimate plan. They end up figuring out the coordinates to where the Emperor is hiding on his homeworld, and they end up hatching a plan. And they send Lando and Chewie out to the galaxy to go see if they could find any other Resistance fighters to come to their rescue and help them stop this war once and for all. Before Rey leaves the island, Luke ends up giving Rey Leia's old lightsaber, and we get a really nice flashback shortly after Return of the Jedi of Luke essentially training Leia. And then we get a really nice moment of seeing them as their younger selves. They did a better job on Mark Hamill. You can kind of see, like, it kind of looks like him, but Leia, it kind of really doesn't look like Leia. And I get, they do this flashback sequence at night in a jungle. And I get why they did that, because if they did that in broad daylight, you'd kind of be able to tell that, hey, that's not them. And the only way you can kind of see their face is from the illumination of their lightsabers. And I kind of like that they did it that way, because I feel like if you did a scene like that in broad daylight, you'd kind of be able to really tell, like, hey, like, something's off. Like, this, like, does not look like them at all. But overall, we get some nice background into Leia, saying that she's had some Jedi training. She's had some training with the Force. Luke has helped her before. And again, that kind of sort of corrects what was going on in Episode 8 when Leia was able to magically just pull herself through space using the Force and able to get back to the ship. Luke ends up giving Rey his old X-Wing that's been sitting at the bottom of the ocean since he arrived on the island. And after that, she ends up going back to the Sith homeworld to confront her destiny, which Luke says confronting fear is the destiny of the Jedi. Do not be afraid of who you are. Don't hide your past. Don't run away from it. Just face it. Similar to what Obi-Wan said to Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi, saying, like, do not run away from who you are. Like, you must face, like, your destiny. You must face Darth Vader. So Rey must face Palpatine. Rey ends up going to the homeworld. She ends up finding the Emperor's throne room, where the Emperor has been waiting for her, and he says, at long last, like, my granddaughter has arrived. Now we can begin. And essentially his plan is to make Rey take the throne and become the Empress of the galaxy. And then out of nowhere, a huge, like, almost like Colosseum, like, group of people, like, his throne room is essentially like the Colosseum, and a bunch of his followers are just chanting in the seats, and they're all getting ready, and he's like, I know what you're afraid of. You want to kill me, but that's exactly what I want. Once you kill me, you'll give in to your destiny and you'll turn to the dark side. Meanwhile, Kylo Ren ends up showing up on the planet, ends up trying to find Rey, and he ends up running into the Knights of Ren, who start to kick the crap out of him. Rey senses Kylo's presence, and she takes out Luke's lightsaber, ignites it, and looks like she's ready to take out Palpatine, but she puts it behind her back, and she teleports it, like, to Ben through the Force. So Ben has a lightsaber, and Rey ended up taking Leia's lightsaber. So now Kylo has a lightsaber and he's fighting off the Knights of Ren while Rey is dealing with the Emperor. But before Rey can do anything, the Emperor just starts kicking the crap out of her. And Ben. Ben eventually comes to the rescue. They end up fighting it out. And then this is when I started to go like, whoa, because this is when you realize just how truly powerful the Emperor is. The Emperor begins to literally suck out all of the force from their two bodies and into himself, making him outstandingly powerful. It's probably not even a word, but I don't care. And you're like, oh crap, what's he gonna do now? And then out of nowhere, you get one of the coolest sequences in the movie where the Emperor, like, this is how cool it was in the theater. When this happened, the Emperor essentially shoots lightning out of his hands, and it's a lightning, like, just so, like, large and so powerful that it's taking out every single ship, like, that's battling in the sky. Like, the entire fleet, like, both good and bad. It's just he's destroying everything. And this whole sequence was so cool because it was like the sound systems in there, it was just like boosted by like bass and everything. So it was just like, I don't know. The sound design on that scene was just incredible. But meanwhile, the resistance is trying to destroy all the final fleet and trying to end the Emperor's reign once and for all. It seems like all hope is lost because their ships are being destroyed from left and right. But what ends up happening is Lando did get more people to join the resistance. He got the word out, and Lando just shows up out of light speed with a whole entire fleet of ships, almost larger than the First Order. And then this is where we get our big dramatic space battle, and we get a lot of callbacks to the original trilogy. And meanwhile, the Emperor is trying to take out Rey and Ben. Ben tries to stop him, but the Emperor pushes him off a cliff or a hole or something, and he ends up falling. Rey ends up trying to fight the Emperor. She's trying to gather her strength. She is very weak, and then she ends up hearing the voices of all the Jedi that have come before. So she hears Qui-Gon Jinn, she hears Obi-Wan Kenobi, she hears Mace Windu, she hears Luke, she even hears Anakin and Ahsoka and even Kanan from Rebels. And they're essentially telling her, like, all the Jedi live inside you. 1,000 generations live in you now. Like, we're giving you all of our strength. Like, carry on the legacy. Like, do what you must. Meanwhile, the Emperor is saying, all the Sith live inside me, and they will soon live inside you. And Rey says, no. And she ends up deflecting the Emperor's lightning back at him. And then he essentially starts to grow more powerful, but then Rey ends up grabbing Luke's lightsaber and crossing them, even forcing more lightning back into the Emperor, which you think the Emperor would learn. After episode 3, when Mace Windu deflected it back in his face, Rey essentially deflects lightning back at the Emperor and essentially disintegrates him. And it takes out all the energy in her. And when the Emperor is destroyed, so is all of the Sith. All the Sith is destroyed. The Emperor's throne room is destroyed. The entire First Order fleet is destroyed thanks to the help from the Resistance. The dark side is defeated, but as soon as that happens, Rey falls to the ground, and Rey is presumably dead. Now, this was the moment in the movie where I was like, dang, if they end her character right now, I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine with that. Both of those characters made their sacrifices, and it was well earned. No, Kylo Ren ends up climbing back up out of the hole. He ends up rushing over to Rey, and he's holding Rey in his arms, and he slowly reaches out his hand and puts it under her chest and starts to give all of his force to her so that she can live. And Kylo ends up making, or Ben ends up making the ultimate sacrifice and giving all of his life force to her. And boom, his entire story arc is complete. And there we go. There's the end. That was the final battle. And it's after that that I was a little mad, because I would have been totally fine with Rey dying and that being like what she does. That could have been her ultimate sacrifice. That would have been what she had to lose, her own life, just for the good of everyone. That would have been very redeemable. But before I wrap up this review, please enjoy a word from my sponsor. After the dark side is once again defeated, our heroes return to the Resistance base, where everyone is in celebration, everyone regroups with loved ones, and again, our three heroes hug for one last time. Chewie is very sad to discover that Leia has died, but one of the Resistance officers, I can't remember who, ends up giving Chewie something, saying, Leia wants you to have this. And it ends up being a medal from the medal ceremony that he attended with Luke and Han at the end of A New Hope when they blew up the first Death Star. So, after many years of fans complaining that Chewbacca never got a medal after that ceremony, well, that's finally put to rest. Chewbacca finally gets his medal. I was super happy. I was on the brink of shedding a tear or two when I saw that moment. I was very happy. I was very pleased. That was probably one of the best little callbacks that they did in the whole entire movie. Once the celebration is over, we discover that Rey flies back to Tatooine. We fly past the Sandcrawler and a group of Jawas, and we discover that Rey is approaching the old Mars homestead, Luke's old home. And we discover that the place is deserted. We get a nice little callback. She sleds down a mountain of sand into the home. It's a nice callback to the beginning of A Force Awakens when she's sliding down the huge hill after searching a Star Destroyer. And she ends up looking around, and what ends up happening is she takes out both Luke and Leia's lightsaber, wraps them up, and then uses the Force to push them down and essentially bury them into the sand. As she's doing this, she is approached by an elderly lady saying, like, no one's been here in years. And she goes, who are you? And she goes, Rey. Now this is the moment of the movie where I got really mad, and I agreed with a lot of people on this. The whole message of the movie is to not be ashamed of who you are, and being able to control your own destiny. Don't run from who you are, don't run from your past, embrace who you are. And sort of a cheesy line says, Rey who? And you want her to say Palpatine, but she looks over and she sees the two Force ghosts of Luke and Leia watching over her and smiling at her. And then she looks at the lady and says, Rey Skywalker. And at that moment, I was like, okay, but seriously, like, if your whole message of the movie is to embrace who you are and not be ashamed of who you are, why don't you just say Palpatine? You could rewrite your family's history. You're like the first person, you're like the only person in that bloodline to actually be good. Like, you can change your family name and literally rewrite history. Yet you don't. You just say, I'm Rey Skywalker. You're not Rey Skywalker. Even though that's what most people wanted, even at the end of episode 7, saying, watch, she's going to be a Skywalker. Because it always has to be Skywalker, because it's the Skywalker saga. But other than that, that's how it ends. She says she's Rey Skywalker, and she ends up watching the twin sunset with BB-8, just like Luke did at A New Hope at the beginning of his journey. The saga begins that way, and it ends that way, and it's a very fitting end. I'm just a little mad that the movie kind of just forgets the whole overall message and then just decides to say, hey, I'm a Skywalker, when she has no connection to them whatsoever. But that is it. That is my review for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. I know I was all over the place. I know I could have done a better job working on some of the details, but I am currently working on that. I'm trying to figure out how these work. I'm trying to figure out my strategy and how I could do these. I'm honestly thinking of starting to write things down so I don't forget and I'm not just rambling on, because all of the podcast episodes, I've basically have had no thought out script. I've basically just been shooting from the hip, and it could use some improvement. But that is my overall review for The Rise of Skywalker. I hope you guys enjoyed. The episode is not over. I do have some things I have to say. Overall, I'll give this movie a 7 out of 10. I thought it was thoroughly entertaining. There were some things that they could have improved on. One of my two biggest... one big issue, again, was that it felt rushed, and I was very bummed. While I was pleased to see all of our main characters together finally teaming up and going on an adventure together, I was a bit disappointed that it took until the very last movie to finally see something like that, when it could have been something to be built upon in The Last Jedi. And one other thing is that we never really get to find out how Maz Kanata got Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. Never figured out how she found it, who gave it to her, if she found it, and why she kept it in her little cantina all this time. In Force Awakens, she says that's a good question, but I'll talk about it another time. That was the only bummer. We got so many big questions answered, but I was very bothered that we didn't get to figure out, what happened to it, how she got it, but I'm sure it'll be explored upon in cartoons, books, video games, whatever. But overall, I'll give it a 7 out of 10. It was a good end to, it was a somewhat good end to the very messy trilogy. And I was entertained. It did its job. I went in there for a Star Wars movie, and I got a Star Wars movie. It was very good. I enjoy 2/3 of this trilogy. Now, in terms of the trilogy itself, I'll give the sequel trilogy... I'll give it a 6 out of 10. Largely due to the fact that Force Awakens makes up for 90% of that rating. I love The Force Awakens. I loved the characters. I loved everything about it. I loved what it set up. The Last Jedi just derailed all of it, and it left J.J. Abrams to pick up all the pieces and make, for the most part, a good, entertaining movie. But still, it's a little messy. There's bits and pieces of it that don't really quite make sense or fit. But overall, I'm pleased with the trilogy. It is not what I hoped it would be. Now, what I liked about this trilogy was that it, again, nostalgia. I'm a sucker for that. I love it when they make callbacks. I love it when they take the old and make it new again. I was completely fine with that. I love that they took some elements of modern day movie technology and blended it with some of the old school techniques that George Lucas used for the original trilogy. I liked how they combined both practical effects and CGI. That was very great, and it made the world feel very real and believable. It was very good. The lightsaber battles, they weren't as visually stunning as the prequels are, but they were still very good and entertaining. The characters, I wish, did have some depth. My only problems with it was that we didn't get to see our new characters team up that much, and we also didn't get to see the original characters team up that much. There was a time where I thought that we were going to get to see all of the original trilogy characters in the Millennium Falcon, or at least going on some sort of adventure for the last time. I originally thought when The Force Awakens came out, I thought it was going to end with Luke, Rey, and Ben fighting Snoke together. Because at the time, I wasn't expecting Palpatine to come back. I thought Snoke was going to be the big bad guy. But it's just crazy to think like what my theories were about where this trilogy was going to go when it first began 4 years ago. And what it eventually has ended up being. Those are my only problems. I wish we got more character development. I wish we got more in-depth stories about them. I wish that our characters teamed up more. I'm saying I wish a lot, but it's true. And honestly, as a Star Wars fan, I wish that Star Wars fans could just enjoy movies in peace and not have to worry about some fan being all hurt and being all offended, being like, oh, how could you like this? Like, because this Star Wars has a problem. It's not like Marvel where they have Kevin Feige being like the whole like the watcher of everything, like saying like, hey, like you can take a few creative liberties here, but like this is overall like what's you need to do. Like we have a story to tell here. Like these things have to happen for a reason. Like we know where we're going. The problem with Star Wars is that no one knows what to do with it. And there have been so many Star Wars projects in recent years that have been canceled because the directors don't want to do it. And I feel like largely in fact due to Disney and largely in fact due to the fan base. Because the fan base is just, I feel like it's either one side or the other. Like, there's no in-between when it comes to Star Wars fans. They either really love something or they hate it, and there's no way to change their opinion. Like, you can't. And they'll hate on others for liking something that they hate. Like, I get it that there's people who love The Last Jedi and love that it took a different approach and how it changed everything and tried something new, whereas they didn't like The Force Awakens for playing it too safe. But overall, I enjoyed 2/3 of this trilogy. I love episode 7 and I like episode 9. They're good. I'm gonna enjoy them. I'm not gonna never watch them again. I do thoroughly enjoy them. As far as the whole franchise goes, Episode 3 is okay. It's the only prequel I'll ever watch. Original trilogy, I mean, nothing's really ever going to top that. And I know people say that, like, well, of course, like, the original is always going to be the best. But, like, when it comes to Star Wars, that's what Star Wars is to me. The original trilogy is Star Wars. That's the best one. And my opinion, like, people just need to accept the fact that they're never going to get better than the original trilogy. They can only approach, like they can't be better. Like, I don't think we're ever going to get to that level of storytelling and filmmaking like the original trilogy. But that's besides the point. Episode 3 is okay. I love the original trilogy. I love even the spinoffs. Yeah, I love both Rogue One and Solo. I think that they're great films. And great additions to the franchise. I am very bummed out about episode 8. I feel like overall this trilogy could have been something a little bit better. But like J.J. Abrams, I'm just going to do the best with what we've been given. And I'm just going to try and find the good in every single installment. Good or bad. And I can't wait to see where the franchise goes from here. Because I don't think we're going to get another trilogy until the next 10 years. Because when The Force Awakens came out, it was 10 years since the last Star Wars movie. And I know what people are saying, well, no, it's the end of the Skywalker saga. I mean trilogy as in, I feel like the Star Wars movies will have a better chance of being successful if they move away from the Skywalker story. I feel like fans will be given something new and they'll be able to form a whole new opinion whereas something they already have strong opinions about, and they're not going to change. Disney could have a shot at potentially, like, regaining some old fans. They need to tell some kind of new story. I don't know what it would be, but as far as I know, I don't think there's ever going to be a trilogy in the near future, maybe the next 5 to 10 years. I don't see one. But as far as spinoffs go and what they can do, there's no telling what they could do, because I already feel like they're successful. I do like Rogue One. I do like Solo. The Mandalorian is an amazing show. If you have not seen it, get Disney Plus. Watch it. It is thoroughly entertaining. It looks and feels like the original trilogy in any possible way. Season one has just concluded, and Jon Favreau, the creator of the show, just had announced that season two will be coming in November of this year. So I cannot wait to see where they're going to continue that story. And as far as Star Wars goes, they're filming the Captain Cassian from Rogue One. He's getting his own Disney Plus show, and that begins filming in summer of this year, as well as the Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus show is going to start filming summer of this year. So I am excited to, yes, I'm always going to go see new Star Wars movies, whether they're good or bad. I'm going to see them because it's a Star Wars movie, and they're fun to watch. Even the bad ones have some good to it. And I'm just excited to see where it goes. I'm excited for the new stories. I'm actually kind of happy that the saga is over, because that means that they're going to do some different stuff. And I think that's what's best for Disney. I feel like they need to do their own thing, and they need to figure, I feel like they need to find their place. And I believe that they will. I think with these shows coming out, it's going to have a lot of potential, and hopefully it could sort of heal the fan base, because this whole trilogy has caused a lot of controversy and a lot of toxicity in the fan base. And I hope that we can see that resolved. But overall, if you're a diehard Star Wars fan like I am, you'll find some problems with this movie, but I still think you'll be overall entertained. If you're just a casual moviegoer, just not really like too invested, you're gonna enjoy it. If you just like seeing the Star Wars movies just to see them, you're gonna be enjoyed. You're gonna get what you want. This movie has action, it has comedy, it has everything you can want from a movie like that. It's thoroughly entertaining, and it's one that I'm still gonna continue to watch. Well, that's about it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to tune in next week, as I'm going to be releasing my plans for the new year, 2020. I can't believe it's already here. And one of my new plans, in fact, I'll let you in on right now, is I'm finally going to get on a schedule for this podcast. Yes, you've heard it here. And this time I'm actually going to stick to it. So my schedule as of now, 2020, is to release 2 episodes of this podcast per month. So this is just one of 2 episodes you're getting this month. So next week will be all about my plans for this whole year and going forward, and what I plan to do with this podcast, as well as my own film projects. So thank you very much for listening. As always, have a great day, and I will see you next time.